The Franchise Geeks presents Social Geek Radio. Hello, geeks. Jack Munson here, your social media consigliere. Today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey and ClickTex, and we're going to talk some staffing, technology, and marketing trends. But first, I have a very quick announcement. If you're attending the Emerging Franchise Conference that the IFA is putting on this week in Miami, please let me know. Would love to sync up with you there and talk a little geekery. I'll be speaking on a panel. That will be this Friday, November 9th. We've got a great panel called Growing Your Franchise Through Social Media. And I've got some awesome co-panelists that will be speaking with me, including Michael Barnett, the co-founder of Romp and Roll, Devin Klein, the CEO of Burn Bootcamp, and one of our favorite geeks, Deb Evans, now an owner of Whoops Macaroons. So those folks will be joining me on the stage in Miami this coming Friday. If you're going to be attending the show, which is really tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday, please let me know. Would love to chat with you at the Emerging Franchise Conference this week in Miami. Okay, let's talk staffing and staffing trends. Joining me today, I'm so thrilled to finally meet Jason Leverent. He's the president and COO with the At Work Group. Jason, thanks for joining Social Geek Radio.
Jack, thanks for having me, sir. Looking forward to our conversation.
So let's kick it off with a little background on At Work. Tell us about your company.
I appreciate that. Yeah, so At Work is a franchisor in the staffing industry, and so many people scratch their head and say, "What is it? What, you know, staffing? What is that?" And you know, so when you think about staffing, we're thinking about our temporary help, but not just your traditional temps. You know, we go so much more than just that. So you know, we kind of holistically service the your idea of a contingent workforce within our client companies that we work with, both of large scale, small scale, short term, long term. Executive management down to entry level positions. So, you know, truly fully suited staffing franchisor. We've been doing this since 1992 in the franchising space. So we've been franchising for 26 years.
Wow.
We actually, yeah, so it's been a wonderful run. And we actually started as a more of a staffing, our consumer facing brand in 86. So we've got a few additional years of just, you know, learning and understanding the industry, seeing it change. So we've been doing this for quite some time. We've experienced some absolutely phenomenal growth. The industry as a whole has, and At Work as a franchisor has been topping even those historical numbers, where we're growing typically three to four times industry standard right now, which is just exciting to be a part of.
So. Absolutely. So let's talk about these changes you've seen over the past couple of decades. I'm sure things, you know, back when At Work started, I'm sure things were exactly the same as they are now in the staffing industry. You know, there hasn't been anything new in the past, you know, 25 years or so. What are you seeing? Let's start here. What are the biggest changes you've seen since you started and 2018?
I think the tipping point, some changes that happened that dramatically impacted not only industry, but us and our mindset and our go-to-market strategies. It really happened during one of the most difficult financial periods that we've seen in modern history in 2008, 2009, the recession, the Great Recession there. It changed the way employers thought about their workforce. And at the same point in time, many of the hate to stereotypically say a lot of the kids that were at home and had parents that were impacted by the recession also changed the mindset of the future workforce, the generationally the workforce that was coming to go to work, coming into the workforce. So I'll kind of rewind back, and so thinking about the changing nature of human resources and how businesses thought of their workforces. Pre-recession, we'd gotten to the point where many had looked at their workforce as very static, as very, we hire internal team members. That's just how we do it. And we carry staff between the highs and the lows, but we have our internal team that we built. And for years, the industry, the staffing industry, had always proposed, I mean, the whole idea that we brought to the table was a concept of a flexible workforce, mm-hmm. a workforce that could increase or decrease with the ebb and flow of the demands of their businesses. And as businesses, as companies experience severe downturn with this great recession, they had to bloodlet. They had to let a lot of internal, that weight go, that internal staff members go, and they realized, wow, now I see the benefits, whether they knew it or not. They realized, wow, now I see the benefits of why I should have been partnering with a staffing company, with a contingent workforce provider, a solutions provider to help me manage my team, the size of my team, the scope and the and how they worked, when they were deployed, and things of that sort. So I feel like there was a bit of a tipping point for us as an industry at that point in time, where the value was just so, it was just absolutely focus. It was a focal point when we're going to market, when we're going to sell, and we see the shift where employers now are very accepting of building a workforce that's holistically designed. That's not just a one track. I'm just going to hire permanent positions and that's it. Full time, long term. The concept of that has changed dramatically. Where now companies are saying, you know what, we're going to allocate a certain amount of flex workforce, of a contingent workforce that we can bring to the table. That coupled with, as I mentioned, the actual workers themselves. In this day and age, the millennial generation is the largest subsector of the workforce today. Behind like Gen Xers, and then you have baby boomers that are retiring and things of that sort. Millennials are driving it. Many of those millennials had experienced or been at home and seen the impact of the recession and are looking to take more control in how they go to work. And that's really what we offer and what we've always offered to the talent that are working for the industry and for our at-work locations is a flexibility and control over where you go to work, what kind of jobs you accept. We give that options. We give those opportunities to our employees, and we give them, they get a lot more control than traditional. I'm going to go find, beg and plead to find a job at the local employers. And then when I finally get it, I'm at their beck and call and I have to work certain schedules or hours or whatever the case may be. In a staffing relationship, they can accept assignments. They could hypothetically work full time for the staffing firm, accepting and handling short-term assignments all over the community and ultimately get varied experience and have a really, again, more control over their own future, their own destiny from a work perspective.
Yeah, I love that idea of control, of them feeling like they're empowered and they have control. And, maybe it's always been that way, but I think people just thought that, well, like you said, I'm going to get this job with the local company and I'm going to be there forever and they're going to take care of me. And then when something changes, it's like this massive shock and earthquake, like, oh my God, I can't believe I lost this job. I thought I was going to have it forever. And maybe it's always been that way. We just didn't realize it, that nothing, it's very rare that a job is going to last until the day you retire. So I think the next generation is just a little bit more awake about that fact and maybe a little more savvy that you really are working for yourself, right? And whoever is paying you right now, you might think of them as an employer, or you might think of them as a business partner, or you might think of them as a customer, or whatever your mindset is. But yeah. I love that idea that you're assigning this element of control to the staff.
Yes. Well, think about this, and I'm sure you've taken an Uber ride before, correct?
Many times this week.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So how many, and you ask this question, it's always interesting to get the response, but if you speak with your drivers, how many of them had expected or ever thought in their life that I'm going to be effectively a taxi driver?
Right.
And many will tell you, no way. But why do they do it? It's because they have the control now through this app, through this technology, which we're going to talk about in a bit. I look forward to that section, but technology has enabled them to gain control and provide the ability to earn income when they want to work. So kind of the epitome of temporary staffing is really what we do every single day. And it's really unique to see technology enabling that to an extent, and so it's just, again, we see that generationally people are really looking for that control. So yeah, I guess I hadn't really thought that level, but the control factor does offer a tremendous benefit to the workforce. And that's really what it's all about. In staffing, we wouldn't have anything if we didn't have our talent that we put to work every day. So
yeah, and I see more and more people, and I think it's been this way a long time. I'm just a little bit more aware of it now. there are more and more people who, even though they have a great full-time job or maybe a good full-time job, they're doing other things too. Everybody has a side hustle these days. And you know what? They probably always have. But it seems like that's just part of our culture now. And a lot of it is, you know, things like driving for Uber or Lyft or something like that. But again, they may not have control of their regular, you know, day job, but boy, they have control over this side hustle.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's something that, we see more and more prevalence happening. And we're seeing, that acceptance from both the talent, from the job seekers out there that are willing to work those side hustles, willing to work those temporary assignments, again, because they have the control that their parents didn't have, that they're, you know, people who don't take advantage of it have. It's just great opportunities that we're offering to our talent and to the industry as a whole, not just at work. And then we can, you know, have all our additional value props and service focused mentality that we go to market with. But it's one of those really intriguing things to see a change literally right in front of us, how people approach the idea of work nowadays.
Yeah. And so we're talking about how it's changed over the past few years. Imagine next year and 2020 and you know, and I always take a step back every time I say the year 2020, like it's so far in the future, right?
Like, I was thinking that in my head when you said it. It makes me laugh because I remember in 2000 saying, where are we going to be in 2020? And now, wait, right. We're 2 years away.
2020. We are right now. This is November of 2018. We're 14 months from the future.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So let's talk. I want to get to some technology stuff, and maybe this will be part of it, but let's talk about the year 2020 or maybe even just into 2019. What trends are you seeing that have really taken off lately that you think are just really going to be the focus of staffing and employment in America next year and beyond? And anything really kind of jump out at you?
Yeah, that's a phenomenal question, and honestly, a great segue to the concept of technology, because that's really where we're seeing a lot of talent acquisition teams, staffing industry folks that are in the hiring space go towards. The challenges that are going to be present. Obviously, we're in a very strong economy right now. Lots and lots of jobs. Not a lot of job seekers. Not a lot of available talent. So we're in a talent scarce economy. There's a lot of industries where there's literally skills gaps where we just don't have the educated talent to fill the roles. So the demand for human capital is huge right now.
Yeah.
And so many firms, as we're seeing, that's going to only continue. So a couple different facets that I feel are going to help at work as a whole, and honestly, those in the industry who want to be successful, continue to grow, is a absolute hardcore focus on service. As a staffing firm, we are a service provider. You know, our clients hypothetically could pull talent from the same pools that we pull talent from. Our talent could obtain jobs from the same client pools that we work with. What we do in the middle is make that process frictionless. We that service that we provide to both ends really justify our existence and make it a pleasure to work with our at-work locations. And something that we did, I'd say in 2011, 2012, we made a dramatic change to our mission statement in our organization. And it's something that, you know, if you went back to, you know, in the history of at-work and looked at our previous mission statement, you could have pulled it from any college textbook. It was very generic, very bland. It wasn't memorable. What we wanted was something, a mission that drove us every single day that really put the focus where it needed to be from the standpoint of service and what are we here to do? And so we were looking at that. We brainstormed as a leadership team. And it came up with this idea. It wasn't really something new. It was something we've always said. It was a tagline that we used as an organization, this idea or this thought to be at work for you. And we thought about that and we were like, you know, that speaks on so many different levels. It's, you know, really three words when you spell at work like we do without a space. It's for, you know, at work for you. That speaks to both our clients and to our talent. We are at work for them. That's our whole purpose here from a servant leadership mentality or mindset. We're serving them. And so honestly, we took that as our mission statement, this idea to be at work for you. That's the mission of the company. We have it all over our corporate headquarters. It's plastered everywhere. it's not only just a slogan, a tagline that we have trademarked. It is what drives us. Now we have underpinning of some really great core values that really add color to this mindset, this At Work For You mindset. But going back to that generic canned mission statement we had before, no, nobody could have quoted it. Nobody knew what it was. But now our entire franchise organization, our owners, our team members, everybody knows it because it's everywhere. It's in front of everybody. It's that service first approach to everything we do. That is what's going to continue to propel At Work at 2 to 3X, 3 to 4X industry averages. It's going to keep propelling our growth because that's what's going to help continue to justify the existence as technology, and this is where technology is segueing in, takes hold and becomes more prevalent in our industry and in talent acquisition in general with our client partners and client companies and the technology that our talent is using as well.
I love that tagline, At Work For You. That it says so much on so many levels. Like you said, it's not just for the customers, but with the internal team and it's simple, right? Like you said, you know, some of those mission statements that we used to see back in the 90s, wow.
I mean, it's a paragraph. They're not memorable. Yeah. They don't speak. They don't resonate with really anything.
No.
Stepping back, you know, we're a franchisor. I mean, we work with prospective owners. We work with owners and as a franchisor as well. And just digressing a bit, as a franchisor, we're a service. We look at ourselves as a service-based organization. So this is a holistic mission statement. As a franchisor, we're at work for our franchisees.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where that first kind of floor of it really starting.
Yeah.
How
are you going to change the life of some potential franchisee? And then how are you changing the lives for all of the people who come in who are looking for work? So
Exactly.
Yeah, I love that. If you have many bullet points in your mission statement, start over. Get something in three or four words.
Just to kind of segue from a technology perspective, because talent is scarce, because it's hard to get to find people, and obviously it's something, an area that our recruiters, our staffing coordinators, our branches and locations need more help than ever to find that talent, to access the talent. And so that's where technology comes in. And we've seen technology augmenting the industry, enhancing the industry. It's always been the case over the last really 10 years, but it's never been more prevalent than really today and where we're in the future. You know, things like, you know, artificial intelligence as a tool rather than what many people think as a risk or a fear for replacement. But I think AI is a tool. This whole machine learning, natural language processing through chatbots, and you know, people having conversations with chatbots, whether they know it or not, through those processes. We see that this coming, it becoming so real. It seems like science fiction. It sounds like it when you're talking about it, but it's happening as we speak, where, you know, I can go today and sign up to hire, and I'm using some air quotes here, hire an AI sourcer, where in the past I would have had to hire a person to source candidates for me. I can go out and get an AI and they have names, AI to become my sourcing employee, if you will. It's just really it's quite wild when you start thinking about these technologies that, again, they were reserved for science fiction novels, and now we're seeing them, that I can go in 10 minutes have access to one at my computer and to have it start working for me effectively, or working with me. So
it's interesting and maybe a little ironic that, you know, everyone in a panic that automation and robots are going to take over my job someday. But the reality is that same technology can help you find a job today.
Absolutely. And you took the words out of my mouth. It's one of those things where people shouldn't look at technology as a threat. They should look at it as a tool to enhance what they do every day and make you more productive. I use this example, this analogy of a progression, the historical progression of a hammer. And I'm not a historian, so I'm taking some liberties here, but bear with me. If you know, you go back to caveman days, you know, and I was trying to hammer in a stake into the ground, I would use a rock and I would just pound the stake into the ground. One of my smart caveman buddies would say, "Hey, let's strap a stick to this rock. We can twine it in here, and I can be more productive with this hammer, with the stone, and I can start swinging it, and I can do twice the work." You know, fast forward through the various iterations, and now you go to Home Depot and you see, you know, 100 different types of hammers.
Right, titanium.
Probably
handle.
The most efficient. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Wood handle, titanium, whatever. You see all these hammers. You could argue the most efficient hammer that's ever been invented is probably hanging at Home Depot somewhere, at least on this planet Earth. Now you have pneumatic nailers, and I can hammer out 1,000 nails in an hour, and it would take me weeks to do before. Now, does that tool and the progression of that tool has it diminished the demand for a carpenter? Has diminished the demand for somebody to wield that tool. It because it's more efficient, you'd think, well, I don't need as many because they can work so much faster. But that's not been the case. We've seen the demands, and we do some construction staffing. The demands for carpenters and many skilled trades who have these tools that have progressed and are extremely efficient are greater than they've ever been in the history of our economy. Why, you know, they have the most efficient tools. So I look at that, you know, AI, progression of AI. It's a tool to be used, wielded in the hands of a trained professional to make them more efficient. And look what it's done on that side. It's enhanced demand. I can see it enhancing our demands because we can get better and better at what we do as a recruiting and staffing firm, a total contingent workforce solutions provider. So,
well said, and great analogy with the hammer and the rock, and it's all about the carpenter, right? So,
it's the professional wielding that tool. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw a good quote this week. It's not about the wand, it's all about the wizard. So kind of the same thing there.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break for a message here, and then we're going to come back and see if there's anything new and exciting happening at work that we wanted to chat about, and then some information on how to reach Jason in case you have additional questions. But first, I did want to mention that today's episode is brought to you by Franchise Dictionary Magazine. The November issue is currently out on the stands and online at franchisedictionarymagazine.com. This November issue is focusing on franchises for and all about pets. So check it out. Lots of cool pictures of dogs and cats because, you know, what's an online social media source without some pictures of dogs and cats? It's franchisedictionarymagazine.com. Okay. Jason Leverant, President and COO with the At Work Group. Thanks so much for joining us today. Any final thoughts on some cool stuff you guys are working on or anything that you would like people to check out?
Well, appreciate that opportunity. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, staffing has been around for a long, long time. We're always looking for ways to innovate. Look for some interesting innovations. I'm challenging the industry and I'm challenging our team. We want to change the way people think about your traditional staffing branch experience from a talent perspective. And so we're looking to continue to drive that innovation. I've got my team working on some pretty neat ideas to differentiate. So I encourage everybody to be on the lookout for those in 2019 and shortly thereafter in 2020 to really step up our model and innovate the industry like never before.
Awesome. And if people want to check that out, where can we send them? And if they have questions directly for you, where do you prefer to connect with people?
Great point. I always default and have folks visit our website. It's easy to remember, www.atwork.com, A-T-W-O-R-K, atwork.com. If you want to connect with me directly, shoot me a connection on LinkedIn. You can just search me by my name, and I'd love to connect with you and chat there. Very active on that source. So again, appreciate the opportunity, Jack, to share the story. So.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us today, Jason, and good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Social Geek Radio. Copyright 2018 Social Geek Radio.